back. Hour number three. Whenever I had a great chance to visit with our friends over at Kiwi Financial Group and Greg Wells and learn much more about him and the advantages of an independent advisor. You know, not tied to any big box advising firms and can do some different things. One of the greatest things is the alternative investments. You know, he could do the stocks and bonds and mutual funds, but because he's an independent guy, he could get you in some alternative investments like some property and things on these lines. So if you need insurance, you need any kind of retirement income planning, if you need any kind of college planning for your children or grandchildren or estate planning solutions or small group retirement plans, let them take care of you. You know, fee-based advising is preferred relationship method, and traditional relationships are still acceptable, but they want to help you out. They want to be there to help you and advise you and make your future even brighter. They're located right beside of Max Drive in here in Clemson, 654-5043, toll-free 800-585-5816. Their website's KiwiFG.com, KiwiFG Financial Group, KiwiFG.com. Good guy, man. And I'm fascinated just how good these people are at diversifying and get you in exactly what you need. Good stuff. To our guest lines now, and our friend Tony Morrell joins us as he does every Tuesday. Good morning, Tony. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, Mickey. How about you?
Blessed. Everything's great. Lucky because football is here. And we'll jump right into it. Your coverage has been great on camp so far. Let's talk first and foremost. Give me a major storyline that has emerged very early on offense. Give me a storyline that has emerged very early on defense so far.
Well, I think offensively, I think one of the players that the coaching staff is counting on to give them more of a contribution than he has in the first 2 years in the program is Rico Dattle at running back. And one of the things he's been focused on throughout the spring and summer has been improving his durability, whether it's through working the weight room or stretching, better diet, better sleep habits, you know, all the things that can go into helping the player stay healthy. He's been working on that, and so far through fall practice, there are signs that has paid off just in terms of how he's running the football, how he's moving, how healthy he is right now. And I think that's a big piece of the puzzle for South Carolina's offense. The running game has to get better this year. And I think Dattle is the most proven of the running backs on the team. He's just been held back by injury. So if he can truly stay healthy this year and not just avoid the injuries that force you to miss games, but also avoid the ones that slow him down, whether it's, you know, an ankle here or knee there or, you know, just the things that are going to happen over the course of the season, if he can be better prepared to handle those and stay closer to full speed, I think that's really going to help him. You know, defensively, I don't know that there's one major storyline yet. I think the biggest key on that side of the ball is for them to continue to develop the younger players, particularly the guys that can help them in the secondary and the guys who can help them with the pass rush. You know, Brad Johnson, Aaron Sterling, some of the guys up front, and then, you know, J.C. Horn and Israel Mukwamu and all the guys, the younger guys and experienced guys that they're working into the rotation in the secondary.
Was it something he was not doing before or just doing things better than he was doing before?
No, I think a lot of it just came down to him not taking care of his body as well as he needed to. You know, whether it was you know, what he did before practice, what he did after practice, what he was eating, you know, sleep habits, hydration. They really looked at a lot of different facets of what he was doing away from the practice field and felt like they pinpointed some things that he could change that could really help him and just, you know, give his body a better chance to handle the punishment that you have to take as a running back. So, and he's, you know, he had a heart-to-heart with Will Muschamp back in the spring, and, you know, Muschamp really laid out what he needed to do to you know, be a guy that they can depend on game in and game out and have a chance to, you know, potentially play on Sundays one day and show the NFL guys that he can be durable. And he's really, I think, passed that test and is doing what Muschamp and the training staff asked him to do.
Was he healthy at any time last year? And I asked that. I know he missed the last half of the season or until the bowl game. But even in the first half, he had 14 carries against Missouri, 12 against NC State, 11 against Arkansas, but didn't have double-digit carries in the other four or five games that he played in. Was he banged up And that, is that the reason why they did that, or, you know, was just more options at running back?
No, it was primarily about him being banged up. You know, he just was banged up in fall practice, and that carried over to the season, and he did his best to play through it. And it just it's hard as a running back if you can't make the cuts that you want to make. Your body says one thing, your head says another. You just can't do what you're trying to do. It's tough as a running back, particularly at this level of football where the speed of the game is so fast. So he's had a lot of hamstring and just lower body injuries that have slowed him down. And the hope is he can do a better job of avoiding that this season and going forward in his career.
We talked an awful lot last year about Dowdle and about Tyson Williams, and yet Turner, and even when you put Mon Denson in, it seemed like he had some decent carries in there. What's the perfect scenario? If you could write the script, do you want Dowdle to get lathered up and get him 20 carries, or are those other guys still a big part of the game plan? What's the optimum situation for him at running back?
Well, I think they want it to be a by-committee approach. They want to keep a fresh running back in there as often as possible, and it also be a guy who can produce for them. But I think what they want from Dowdle and what they think he can do, and even Tyson Williams to a lesser degree, is they want more big plays. They want more explosive plays, getting to the second level more, and just putting more pressure on an opposing defense with their running game than they were able to last year. And that's, I think, the tempo of the offense is going to help there. I think certainly if Dowdle stays healthy, that's going to help him, because I do think he has some big playability for them and is the guy who can make a defender miss in space and turn a 6-7 yard run into a 30 or 40 yard run. So, I think it's a mix there. They want to have a fresh back out there, but they want to have a guy they know the opposing defense is going to have to account for every single play and feel like he's a guy that could make big things happen if they miss a tackle or take the wrong angle.
Is there a guy with the new pace? Is there a guy who benefits more than any other guy, or is it just that everybody benefits as a whole?
I think it's one position group. I think it's the offensive line. I think it puts less pressure on them. With plays that develop faster and happen quicker, I think that helps the offensive line. But in terms of one player, I think it's Jake Bentley. I think he's been at his best at quarterback when he's been able to make quick decisions. The few times they've gone up tempo or went up tempo when Kurt Roper was the coordinator, Bentley tended to produce and really flourish in it. And I think doing that more often is really going to help him. I think where he got in trouble a lot of times in terms of turnovers and forcing throws were when plays were taking too long to develop and his first couple of options weren't there and he's having to scan the field and rather than tuck it and run and pick up a few yards or just throw it away, he would try to force something and throw off his back foot and that's when he got in trouble. So I think he's got a chance to, I'm not saying he's going to all of a sudden become a Heisman candidate, but I do think he's going to be a more consistent player in this offense and appear to be more comfortable throughout the game.
It is early in camp, but I think what you got in a lot of areas. Any of the newcomers really been standouts? Anybody been maybe even better than what we'd have thought coming in?
I think that there's a few guys there. I think Jovan Gwynn has really turned a lot of heads. He's a guy who did not enroll early, but looked great in the weight room and in the conditioning work over the summer. He maxed out at 5.05, and that's saying something for a true freshman. He's got a lot of strength already, and he still has a lot to learn in terms of technique and just the overall offensive system. But I think Garrett Wolford and the rest of the coaches have been very happy with what they've seen from him. Same for Dylan Wanham. He's a guy that they feel very good about as someone who's going to contribute pretty early in his career and has a chance to have a long career as a starter, probably at the right tackle position. Josh Vann is a wide receiver who did not enroll early and really missed most of the summer as he's recovering from a procedure he had done on his shoulder in the spring and late spring, early summer. And he's back to full speed and has definitely shown why he was so heavily recruited. It's like the guy who's going to play this year and has a chance to make some big plays for him down the field. You know, heard good things on J.C. Horn, Israel Mukuamu. And then another little bit of a surprising name, a guy that I think a lot of people forget about, is Ernest Jones, a linebacker from Georgia that signed with them last year. He enrolled early, but had to have a procedure done on his back. So he missed all of winter workouts and spring practice. Came back this summer and had a good summer in the weight room. He's up to about 235 and has done some things to jump off the page so far in fall practice. And a really smart kid, really understands the game and could end up winning a spot in the rotation and helping them on special teams this year.
We missed about a couple of transfers. We found out yesterday, out of nowhere, I guess you guys might have known about it before, but Jamel Cook, a defensive back from Southern Cal, is now in the program.
Yeah, he's looks a lot like Israel Mukuamu. They were stretching beside each other in his first practice and almost looked like twins from the back. He's going to be more of a safety. Mukuamu's running a corner. But Cook is a guy they recruited heavily out of high school. He ended up choosing Southern Cal, went out there for a couple of years, and I think just wanted to get closer to home and made contact with the staff once he got his release. And they looked into everything and decided to give him an opportunity. I think he's a really talented guy. I think whether this transfer ends up being a productive one for him is really going to come down to his work ethic and whether he's willing to buy into the system and the way Will Muschamp and Javaris Robinson want to do things. If he does, I think he has a chance to you know, at least be a key backup, if not win a starting spot. He'll sit out this season and have 2 years to play after that. They were, I think, cautiously optimistic about his chances. A lot's just going to depend on his work ethic, but certainly has the talent and the athleticism to help him.
I know you get asked a lot the latest on Josh Belk and why he hadn't been practicing and when he could be practicing.
Yeah, not a lot of specifics. He has not been cleared medically. Is I think the long and the short of it. You know, I don't know exactly why he hasn't been cleared, but I'm assuming there's something that the doctors found that they want to just cross all their T's and dot their I's and make sure if he's completely healthy before he gets out there in this heat and the humidity. And you know, he is a little bit heavier than they expected him to be, so I think they're just being careful with him right now. And you know, last time I checked on it, they were hopeful he would be cleared sometime soon, potentially this week, but to this point has not been medically cleared.
Any other injuries that coming in that haven't, you know, that have been a factor, or any of those that have occurred during practice itself?
Yeah, Rosendo Lewis has been in a sling, had his shoulder in a sling really since day one of fall practice and has not been able to participate. And I know he's frustrated with that as a guy that really wants to be out there and win a spot in the rotation. They're hopeful he'll be cleared here pretty soon to return to practice at least. He may not be cleared right away for full contact, but could at least get out of a yellow jersey and back and running full speed. JT Ebay, the safety transfer from Rice, a graduate transfer, is still recovering from the procedure he had done on his hip, but they hope he'll be practicing later this week. Brad Johnson and Eldridge Thompson were two guys that missed a little bit of time earlier in practice. They've returned and are back to full speed, so they're good there.
What's on the to-do list? Where are the areas of improvement? If you ask Will Muschamp, what needs to happen here in the next week or so?
I think it's continuing to build depth, really, on both sides of the ball. I would say offensively, the starting positions are more settled than they are defensively. There's still some battles there at, you know, cornerback, at safety, you know, maybe on the defensive line for that third and fourth spot. There's definitely more battles on that side of the ball. Offensively, I think it's pretty set as to who the starters will be. But you don't just play a football game with your starters, as you well know. So they have to continue to build depth and figure out, you know, which returning guys can they count on, you know, guys who haven't necessarily done a lot so far in their career, who can they count on there, which newcomers are ready mentally and physically and look like guys that are going to be ready to help them both in terms of providing depth and on special teams and just, you know, get a good sense of which guys are going to be on the travel roster and ready to help them from day one, and which ones you know, look like redshirt guys or guys that aren't ready to help just yet. And then I think another thing is, you know, I think every coaching staff out there is going to have a different approach to how they handle the new redshirt rule, with players being allowed to play in four games without losing their redshirt. So it's going to be interesting to see, I think, how South Carolina manages it relative to some of the teams on their schedule, and which of those guys, you know, might not be ready to play every game this season, but could help them maybe in those four games. Like, you know, for instance, the Kerryon Joyner, you know, how do they manage him? He's not ready to be a full-time quarterback right now that's competing for a starting job, but he might be athletic enough and talented enough to make some plays in the red zone or in certain situations. So I'll be curious to see how they manage him and maybe a few other guys like that.
Text message question here asking about the transfer from Texas A&M, the cornerback Harvey. How's he look so far?
I haven't heard a ton one way or the other on him. I know the ideal scenario would be for Harvey and Rashad Fenton to be the two outside corners, and then have Keyshawn Nixon be their nickel. That's how they hope it plays out. But obviously Harvey has to show that he's ready. But you know, he was healthy and worked with them with the defensive backs all summer, and I would think is on pace there to be a starter. But I haven't. He's not one I've checked on specifically, and he hasn't been mentioned to me, but I know that going into fall practice, they felt good about where he was in terms of understanding the system and thought he could hit the ground running.
I think I've asked you this in a general question. I've got a text message here wondering about size up front, that if Keir Thomas plays inside and if Bryson Allen Williams has to play like defensive end, do you worry about size? I think we talked a little bit about it. I'll let you answer that one again, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think – you know, that's one of the reasons they were hoping they could potentially get Josh Bell in there this year. You know, Kinlaw is really their, you know, a guy who's 300-plus pounds who can eat up space, take on a double team, and still make some plays. They don't have a whole lot of guys like that. So I do think, you know, Travarius Robinson has talked about being able to win in short yardage situations, being able to consistently stop a two-back downhill running team like, you know, Georgia's going to be in week two, and some of the other teams on the schedule. And that, I think it's not just about size. It's also about technique and depth and, you know, being able to keep fresh bodies in there and hold up over the course of a game. But, you know, it's not the biggest defensive line in the world. So I think that could be an issue at times, but if they can get Belk ready this year, even, you know, next year, you know, once they get him out there, I think that's going to help that to some degree. But that's certainly something that's still a work in progress for them as they build their defensive line.
Finally, what's coming up on the site? I know the best place to follow Gamecock coverage is thebigspur.com.
Yeah, well, can continue to have you know, as much coverage as possible day to day for practice. I think we've done a really good job so far. Subscribers have been very happy with the coverage and given us good feedback, and we're going to continue to do that throughout fall practice. So just go to thebigspur.com, and if you're not a member, we'd love for you to join today.
Place to find it, thebigspur.com. Hey, man, as usual, can't thank you enough. Looking forward to visiting next week. We have some scrimmages in the book there and more information. Keep up the great work. We'll visit with you next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Mickey.
Thanks, Tony. Tony Morrell, good friend from thebigspur.com. I'm on Granger Nissan of Anderson.com right now. 406 vehicles on the lot. That Armada looks good. That's a good tailgate machine. 20 of those. What do you want to know about? You're an old truck guy over there, aren't you? You want to know like how many Titans they have over there right now? I can tell you, oh, there are 406 vehicles right now. 22 Titans. Good-looking vehicles over there at Granger Nissan of Anderson. Home of the Lifetime Warranty, proud partners of the Clemson Tigers. It's my friends at Granger Nissan. Had a great time visiting with Damon, the great folks over there. 324-0650 is our sales office. You can do anything in the world. You can look at the financing part of it, the servicing part, schedule an appointment, look at all their great specials that are going on. They are in the middle of a huge deal going on right now at Granger Nissan of Anderson. It is a great time to buy cars. Granger Nissan of Anderson would love for you to stop by and inquire about their huge inventory. I learned that when I visited with the guys over there the other day. It's all about inventory, 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 inventory. It's our great friends at Granger Nissan of Anderson. Check them out. 3510 Clemson Boulevard. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Open phone lines, text, tweets right after this.
Hendrick Honda Easley Summer Spectacular is underway right now. The only five-year winner of the Honda President's Award in the Upstate. Visit today to see the difference in their world-class buying experience. Every interaction with customers is fast, fair, easy, and transparent. Check their website for the price of your new Honda. Over 8,000 pre-owned vehicles to choose from as well. Visit HendrickHondaSC.com. That's HendrickHondaSC.com. Or call us at 855-1234. Once again, that's 855-1234.
The kick is up, and it's good. Score big during August at the Pendleton Tire Company. Purchase four of the all-new Yokohama Avidesen GT tires and get a $70 rebate by mail. The Yokohama Avidesen GT is designed for shorter wet braking while still giving you a quiet, comfortable ride. Go see Joey Wellborn or Zach Garrison for complete details. Call them today at 646-3694 or check them out at PendletonTire.com.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Monday's pizza and a pint build your own four-topping pizza for $9. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Do you want bigger biceps? Do you want to increase your bench by 58 pounds in 6 weeks? Protein is not enough. 75 to 90% of your protein is wasted and not used for muscle building. Optinas works genetically to redirect protein to your muscles. Clinical trials showed a 12-time increase in arm size and 3-time increase in lean body mass compared to a placebo. Experience Optinas. Go to upstatemuscle.com. That's upstatemuscle.com.
If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, or a place to start a new business, or you need some acreage, then you need to call Coldwell banker Hugh Durham and Associates. Hugh Durham has been in business for over 45 years, a member of IPTE for 54 years, and he has the same dedication to Clemson Athletics as he has to his business. Put the dedicated and experienced experts to work for you. Call Coldwell banker Hugh Durham at 225-3788 or online at cbhdpros.com and get ready to be treated like family.
The Surgery Center at Pelham is a fresh approach to the outpatient surgery experience. First of all, we're a smaller facility, so we really are a true team where we make decisions together as a team to care for our patients the absolute best way possible. We are the ones that are successfully performing the total knee and hip replacements as outpatient surgery here in the Upstate. At the Surgery Center at Pelham, our team of medical professionals are with you every step of the way. From the time you enter our doors that morning to the time you walk out of our facility that afternoon. I'm Kathy Witham, one of the clinical directors at the Surgery Center at Pelham, and I want to personally invite you to come see us and take a tour of our surgery center. Meet our wonderful staff and allow us to answer any questions you might have about total knee or total hip replacement surgery. We're just different from everybody else. You'll be impressed. The Surgery Center at Pelham, where we're doing amazing things to improve your surgical experience.
The Mickey Plyler Show
on 105.5 The Roar.
Strike three, you're up.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Our friends at Priority One Security want you to know that everything you need when it comes to commercial, everything that you need when it comes to residential, everything that you need when it comes to industrial, they've got it. They've got it all. And it's technology, it's people, it's the innovative approach they go about their business. We are extremely proud to be partners with them here. They just make it easy on you. They make it safe. You know, it'd be nice. I mentioned this before. It'd be nice not to have security, but we do. You know this. I'm going to tell you how crazy this world is. It is our great friends at Priority One Security. Couldn't be happier with every aspect of what they do at our home and here at the studio. PriorityOneSecurity.com, the number one, Priority One Security. thecheckisup.com. Let's get some Twitter tweets. Is that going over the air when you're doing it? You're just having a good time over there?
Just having a good old time.
Just spinning the hits?
Just spinning the hits. The old boss, if you will.
Kevin writes in, he mentioned Bentley and Heisman in the same sentence. LOL. He said that he's not ready to say he's a Heisman candidate. So he's not, you know, saying that he's going to also win the Heisman Trophy because of the new deal there. Chip writes in, it looks like NASCAR will have a new leader very soon, not a France. Yeah, that was not a good look for NASCAR yesterday.
What happened?
The NASCAR CEO was arrested, DUI, found in possession of oxycodone. Brian France, the CEO, was driving in the Hamptons or on Long Island somewhere, Sag Harbor. You know, you've been to Sag Harbor in Long Island?
I have not been in the Hamptons.
Beachside community. Well, I was in the Hamptons, not on Long Island. He drove through a stop sign, pulled over by police, failed a roadside field sobriety test, tested twice the legal limit. Officers found oxycodone pills in his car.
He was drunk or is he high?
I don't know. Under the influence. Let's go to TMZ. It's not a good look for NASCAR right now.
I mean, there's... Yeah, it's not.
It's a way to get the facts, though. He could have been prescribed those. We don't know. But let's... Shouldn't run stop signs, I know that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Matt in...
What's this guy's name again?
France. Brian France.
Brian France.
Yeah. One of those France guys.
Zero chance I'd be able to tell you that he was the CEO of NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. The France family.
The France family.
Yeah.
Hey, why didn't you say that?
Well, you know NASCAR, the France.
Oh, yeah. The France. Yeah.
How can you be more condescending about
it? Oh, the France family. Got it.
Are you familiar with that the Frances have run NASCAR since its inception, basically?
Yeah. If you said the France family to begin with, I would have been all over it.
Well, do you think, what family do you think that Brian France is from?
I would have been all over it.
What family would Brian France be from?
Well, the Brian Smiths? By himself doesn't carry enough weight for me.
Right.
But if you just said the France family, come on. I'd be like, oh, yeah, the France family. NASCAR, of course.
But you heard the last name.
That's what he was doing.
That's a stop sign. He was like, there's a camera at the stop sign. He went, not funny to make fun of that, but it is kind of.
It's a little funny. There's a lot of low hanging fruit in terms of jokes in this situation, but we're not going to make them.
No.
We won't do it.
No. Refuse to talk about. When you talk about the France family and all the Frances, do you have to say the French?
That's true. That's a very valid point.
I don't know.
Oh, the France family, of course.
Yeah.
They're an institution, an American institution.
This is a healthcare text line.
Talk about the Rockefellers. Talk about the France family is what you talk about.
In NASCAR, they are the Rockefellers.
Oh, man. Huh. Imagine being the Rockefellers is something nobody cares about. Imagine that.
You're trying to say nobody cares about NASCAR?
I am telling you nobody cares about NASCAR.
Hard to argue.
Yeah.
At this point.
No one shows up. Hardly anybody watches it anymore.
Very hard to argue.
Sponsors dropping all over the place.
Yeah. Difficult to argue that. Text message, health care text line. Mickey, how is Garrett Williams tight end doing? Will he contribute this year? He will contribute this year. From all everything I heard, everything's fine. He's 100%, and we'll have a very good time there at tight end this year. Have a very good, productive season at tight end this year. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. You don't like this. NASCAR is almost as boring as hockey. Chad and Greenville.
Good one.
When your Devils start?
NHL starts in October.
October. You feel pretty good about it, don't
October.
You?
October. Yeah, of course I do.
Terrible about the Canadiens.
Well, you should. they're going to be bad.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah, but that's all right. Cross that bridge when we get there.
Josh from Greenville asks, Mickey, if Ed gets fired as expected from LSU and Urban is free, do you think LSU will hire him? And can you see Urban versus Saban in an annual matchup? You know what? Wouldn't put it past him. Would Urban Meyer be untouchable? Do you have to just start all over? like at a lower level, or could you just hire him right away if he's fired? A lot of things have to go through that. There is no opening at LSU right now, and Ohio State still employs Urban Meyer. But that's an interesting conversation. Zach, you're on the phone. Could LSU hire Urban Meyer at the end of the season? Could you see an Urban Meyer versus Nick Saban yearly SEC West battle?
If he's let go for all this stuff?
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't. They won't.
I mean, LSU, but it's Louisiana. Okay. Home of the drive-through daiquiri stands. You know, home of Sodom and Gomorrah down there with the with Bourbon Street. You think they care anything about any kind of morals or ethics or values in Louisiana right now?
The drive-through daiquiri stands.
No, they do.
That's not a thing.
I've been to one.
No, you haven't.
I think they might have outlawed them.
Of course they
drive-through daiquiri stands. You know, you got open containers, then you have drive. They have like drive-through liquor stores there.
Yeah, but like you're not driving up and ordering a you know a little vodka tonic with a lime in there and driving off.
Okay, I'm looking at at it right now.
That's illegal.
Drive-through daiquiri shops. In Louisiana.
No. Nope.
Well, I'm looking at pictures of it right now. Do a Google search. Drive-through daiquiri. Just look that up.
Drive-through daiquiri, Texas, New Orleans, Florida. Goodness gracious. Like, I don't.
What are the open container laws when you can have a drive-through daiquiri stand?
Curbside daiquiris doesn't open until 10 a.m. So,
do you do before 10 a.m.?
There's no way they serve.
Yes.
Beverages.
Yes.
Alcoholic beverages.
They do. Look it up.
I'm looking.
You believe me on this? What are your DUI laws? What are your open container laws?
What are we doing?
So now that you know that, any scruples in Louisiana? Because they hired Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer might be on a plane now to Baton Rouge.
Let me get to Chris over in Anderson, 654 Roar. Hey, Chris, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
Pretty good, Mickey. How are you?
Couldn't be better.
Appreciate you getting me in. A couple things real quick. Just want to get you guys' thoughts on Georgia and their upcoming season. Also, some of the recruits early enrolling, you know, which recruits are going to make a big impact. And I'll take it off there. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the phone call. I think Georgia is one of the top five teams in the country. I think now Georgia lost an awful lot, and there's an awful lot to replace. However, they've recruited extremely well. I watched the Rose Bowl and the national championship again last night. And, you know, Roquan Smith and Lorenzo Carter and Aaron Davis and Trenton Thompson and John Atkins and Reggie Carter, there's a lot to replace. Dominic Sanders, there's a lot to replace. Davin Bellamy. All those guys, a lot to replace. Haven't replaced Chubb and Michelle. However, they've recruited extremely well. And DeAndre Swift will do quite well for Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle. I think Zamir White will as well. Obviously, with Fromm and Fields at quarterback, you're fine there. Wilms was your best wide receiver, no doubt about that, but Godwin, and it's time for Mecole Hardman to do something. Riley really looked great in the national championship game. You'll be fine there. Got the as good a tight end as there is coming out a few years ago. The offensive line looks pretty good. I think the offense had to carry the defense probably pretty early. The great news for you is that really there is a chance, and I think a decent chance, that you will not play a ranked football team this year until November 10th. Isn't that crazy? You could go through all of September and all of October and not play a ranked football team. There's a chance. I mean, if Auburn fell apart, you can play any ranked team. Let me ask you this. Are you okay?
I'm just looking up Louisiana laws. So the frozen beverage thing?
Yeah.
It sounds great. But you cannot have a straw protruding from the top. Has to have a lid on it.
You can't have straws anymore anyway.
And no contents can be removed. So it's not. You can't just grab it and drink it on the go. It's illegal.
We could take it home.
But even if you do get caught, it's a $100 fine, no jail time. It's a open container violation is a misdemeanor in Louisiana.
Yeah.
What a lawless society.
Steven Anderson says, hey, I've seen the drive-through liquor stores there to stay up until 10 p.m. Drive-through liquor stores.
Liquor stores stay open until 10 p.m. outside of the Bible Belt. That's not that unusual to hear.
It's one of the most
And they have open on Sundays.
They're just one of the most religious places in the country, New Orleans.
I guess. I don't know.
It's Catholic Central down there. Man, it was a number two imports of Irish Catholics in the country.
They're just going for it.
All right. On a serious note about this Georgia schedule, is it possible that Austin Peay won't be ranked when they open the season, when Georgia plays them? Sacramento Miss Door 24?
Yes.
Okay. No, Austin Peay's not going to be ranked. Is it possible South Carolina won't be ranked when they play in week two?
Yes.
Middle Tennessee State?
Yes.
Missouri?
Yes.
Tennessee?
Yes.
Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Is it possible LSU they won't be ranked by then?
It's possible, but they could be, though. They could be.
LSU's going to lose games before then.
All right, that's fine.
Is it possible Florida could be unranked?
Yes.
Is it possible Kentucky's unranked? And you know what? Auburn might not be ranked by then. You can have a whole season where Georgia didn't play anybody ranked.
Mm.
That's why Georgia is going to win the East. But then, with that schedule, I think you got to beat Alabama. Let me get Scott Neasley, 654 Roar, Northern Communication phone line. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are, Mickey.
Very blessed. Yep.
Real quick, we surely are. And also, I want to touch base. You guys mentioned NASCAR, and I'm not a NASCAR fan. I used to be. But I remember back in the heyday, so to speak, when, man, it'd be over 100,000 people. I mean, it was just amazing, the growth that was there. But I'm curious, at what point did they jump the shark? Boy, jumping the shark, there's a story within itself. Yeah. Most people don't even know what that means. But I wonder if you guys had any insight what you thought really caused the demise. Because to me, it looks like it's headed for the scrap heap, no pun intended. And also, Mickey, with Clemson team this year, I just wonder if we're creating, or if we have, our expectations are way too much. And it feels different. I think it's because of the quarterback position. I love Kelly Bryant. Love, you know, what they got going on. But with Deshaun Watson, there was no doubt, no question, you knew who the quarterback was. And we don't have that. And I wonder if that could create a problem, you know, down the road. And I'd like to take those thoughts off the air.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the phone call, Scott. On the Clemson football question first. Well, you're ranked number two in the country, tied for the highest preseason expectation ever. So you could try to hold down an expectation. But this is what you want. This is what Alabama is every year. Don't you want to have high expectations? Don't you want to be ranked in the top two in the country? Don't you want national championship implications in your program?
Year in and year out.
So the other part of it is not knowing who your quarterback is. You know what's crazy? Of the teams that are currently ranked, let me see the latest poll. Of the teams ranked in the top of the current poll in college football, Alabama is number one. Well, let me start all over. In the NFL right now, do we know who's going to be starting quarterback of the defending Super Bowl champions? Do we know who's going to start week one?
Do we know who's going to start week one for the Eagles?
Yeah.
It'll be Carson Wentz if he's healthy.
If he's healthy. But yeah. But also, you know, the other cat comes in, wins the Super Bowl with him. There's not a quarterback controversy there.
No, it's Carson Wentz's team. But if Nick Foles is you know, called upon, he will play.
Okay. At Alabama, do we know for sure who the quarterback's going to be yet? Throughout the season?
No.
Do we know who's going to be the starting quarterback Clemson throughout the season?
No.
Number three is Ohio State. Don't they have a little quarterback competition going on down there still at Ohio State, or up there still at Ohio State? No, it's not the major headlines there, but they've not settled in a quarterback, and we know this guy's going to start the whole year, right? Sure. Haskins is going to start the whole year.
Absolutely.
At Georgia, do we know Jake Fromm's going to be the quarterback the whole year?
We're pretty sure, but no.
But Fields could do. At Oklahoma, has Kyler Murray won the job there? I think still there's a battle going on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to go down to Washington at number six with Jake Browning to know who's a settled starting quarterback where there's not a lot of quarterback competition right now for the season.
Absolutely.
The top five teams in the coaches poll right now, we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be throughout the season. Isn't that crazy?
It's wild, actually.
That's crazy. I'm Brian Fallows. That's crazy. Engineersleep.com, my engineer sleep bed. Look, I wish I could buy everybody here, every one of our listeners, an engineer sleep bed. And then that way they'd say, boy, Mickey, you're great. You're the greatest guy ever. I love that. Engineersleep.com. Get in touch with them. They'd love for you to come by. 10% off if you haven't heard about it right here. Engineer Sleep makes your bed for you right now. The cut, glued, sewed, taped, everything is you can watch them make it. It's not going to sit in their warehouse, but within 5 days of you going in there, you're going to have a new mattress. and free delivery here locally. I can't say enough about it. Get a custom design mattress just for you at engineersleep.com. Quickly on the NASCAR stuff, because he asked about that. When did it go wrong? I think it's a series. It's a multitude of problems. Number one, they tried to expand too much. They took away races in North Wilkesboro, in Darlington, in Rockingham. They took away races. And they tried to expand to Kansas City and to Chicago and to California, Texas, and it just didn't work. Number two is that the superstars and the personalities aren't in it anymore. What made NASCAR great was the Cale Yarboroughs and the David Pearsons and the Richard Petties and the multitude of different kinds of personalities there, and you don't have that personality now. The rivalries that were in there, Chevy and Ford were rivals. You know, Petty and Pearson were rivals, and Earnhardt and Gordon were rivals. And you don't have that polarizing figures of you were this guy or that guy. NASCAR, when I first started following it 20 or 30 years ago, it was amazing. We had NASCAR guests here on the show every single week, and people love NASCAR. And I got to tell you, Zach, when you go to a NASCAR event, it was passion. And I just don't see it anymore. Too many races, too spread out. It's more of a regional sport than an international or major national deal there. And the personalities. And then, I'm not sure the leadership. There's so many rules and so many different rule changes and all that kind of stuff. I think that hurt them as well. A lot of things hurt them. It's 10 or 12 or 15 different things that hurt them. Is it fixable? It might be fixable. I don't know. I can't say that it won't be. The NBA was dead maybe 15 years ago, and some people brought it back. But look, it's got to be more engaging. And in the end, you got to have more personalities. We'll take a break, come back. Final segment after this.
Hey, Tiger fans, 2018 Clemson football single game tickets are currently available.
Going left side looking for Higgins in the end zone. Ball batted up in the air. Higgins comes down with a touchdown.
Visit ClemsonTigers.com to purchase your tickets to see the Tigers in Memorial Stadium this fall. You can also visit ClemsonTigers.com for a list of game day designations to help plan out your visit to Clemson. Be sure and purchase your tickets today before they are gone. It's Clemson Tiger football. We'll see you in Death Valley.
Hi, friends. Mickey Baller here for Bozy Boggs and the Boggs Law Firm. When it comes to legal advice, I go with someone I can trust, and that's the Boggs Law Firm. Their telephone number, 233-8066. The first phone call you make in any legal situation should be to Bozy and the Boggs Law Firm. For legal consultation, court matters, for legal documents, or any legal advice, make your first phone call to Bozy Boggs and the Boggs Law Firm. Again, that number, 233-8066.
Homeowners and landscapers choose EnviroMulch, a locally owned environmentally friendly company. They supply quality organic mulches, soil, sand, and stone for every landscaping application, delivery, or pickup. Nobody beats their prices. EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake. Just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
With over 8,000 certified pre-owned vehicles in their network, Henrik Honda Easley is ready to help you buy your next vehicle that will exceed your expectations. All their vehicles come with a warranty and your first maintenance included, and they even review repair orders with you to show they truly stand behind their product. Henrik Honda Easley wants you and your family to have a safe, reliable vehicle that you tell all your friends about. Check out their inventory at HenrikHondaSC.com. Again, that's HenrikHondaSC.com.
Hey guys, if she wanted an engagement truck, you'd be all over it. Or a shotgun, or a Yeti cooler. But a diamond? Why in the world does it need to be a diamond? What does it do for anyone? Well, for her, it does quite a bit. It's a daily reminder of the fact that you see and respect the real her, that she's more to you than just another girl. It's a symbol of trust and caring, of a belief that the two of you are meant for each other. Diamonds are the chosen symbol because they last forever. It's the only thing you can give to her that she can wear every day, and it will still look as good in 50 years as it did the day you gave it to her. So if it's that time for you to show someone special how much she means to you, I'd like to invite you to Scores Jewelers in Anderson. At Scores, our goal is simply to offer guidance and expertise to help you find the right diamond and the right ring. What we won't offer is pressure. We believe strongly in taking care of people and making friends. because friends come back and we'd like to see you again. Our new building isn't quite ready yet, so you can still find us between Old Navy and Pier 1 in Anderson or online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com. I'm William Nichols, and I want to be your jeweler.
Are you looking for a more rewarding and exciting career with a better paying job? Tired of retail nights and weekend shifts? This is Paul Heinauer, president of GlassPro, inviting you to join our fast-growing GlassPro team. Right now, we're hiring customer service and call center representatives with dinners, pay, and full benefits, including health, 401k, and much more. Apply online today at glasspro.net. That's glasspro.net.
It's your choice, GlassPro.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming in early.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't
final segment of the show. Fear the Turtle checks in with us. I can't wait for this, and I always enjoy the comments. Good morning, Fear the Turtle. How you doing?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
You use that term loosely, gentlemen.
Yes, very loosely.
Yeah.
I was wondering, Mickey, have you ever had an opportunity where, you know, you were like, look, officer, I know this looks bad, but I know Dabo. You ever name drop?
Oh, no way. No way. No. This is my entire history, okay? I know you didn't ask this way, but I've been pulled over 3 times in my life. Once was for the guy said I went over the center line and he thought I might have been drinking because it was really late. I was working really late and I hadn't had a thing to drink. And then he let me go because, you know, I didn't do anything. I said, man, I don't think I swerved, but you know, if you want to write me a ticket, he said, no. He was just checking to see if I'd been drinking and I hadn't. The other 2 times, well, I'll take that back because I had seatbelt issues a couple of times. But the other 2 times, I got caught for speeding. And I remember saying when the guy pulled me over, they're on old dirt, not dirt roads, but country roads in South Carolina. I remember telling the guy, man, you know what? I could tell you a big lie about all the stuff I got, but I want to be honest with you, man. I don't really know how fast I was going. I was just mindlessly driving down the road. I was just trying to be honest. Got tickets both times. But never name dropped.
I'm willing to bet that somebody in your audience has name dropped you.
Here's how you would do it. That I'm listening to this guy, Mickey, on the radio, and he made me so mad. My blood pressure was boiling, and I accidentally pressed the gas too hard. Right?
Not surprising. Yeah. Another thing. Nice to see that University of North Carolina is once again displaying excellence in athletics and academics. It's absolutely amazing. It really is.
Isn't it crazy that this is what gets players suspended? Not the other stuff, but this is what gets them suspended.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
Got a buddy of mine that lives in Columbus. Last Friday, the afternoon drive time guy on the local sports show had pretty much said he was done with Urban. Man, he got roasted for like 4 hours from local callers up there. I'd probably feel better if it was an independent council that's, you know, doing the stuff for Urban Meyer, but it's not an independent council, is it?
It's not. I have been on both sides of this thing, but I just want to see all the facts.
Yeah, and I get that. Like you said, I would feel better if it's independent council because, right. I mean, how many millions and millions of dollars are we talking about if – they let this guy go.
Here's one thing that I was surprised about Fear the Turtle. I listened to, this was last Wednesday when it came out. I was traveling through Columbia, and their flagship station down there had a really good guest on from their sports station in Columbus. And I was shocked to hear a couple things. Number one is that every coach since Paul Brown has been fired at Ohio State. They fired Woody Hayes. They fired Jim Tressel. I was also surprised at this, that according to this sports guy there, this radio guy there, that Woody Hayes was revered in Columbus, Ohio, that Jim Tressel was revered there, but Urban Meyer's not revered there, not loved there. They like him. They appreciate the job that he's done there, but they felt like that those other guys were held in a little higher regard, and that the thought was, if you can fire those guys, you can certainly fire Urban Meyer. I didn't know that. I thought Meyer was the savior that came in and saved the program. Apparently, this guy disagrees with that and said that he's not one of the all-time legends in Ohio State. I would say that Ohio State fans probably feel like that if you do fire him, it doesn't matter. We're still bigger than all that, and we'll go get somebody better, and we'll still win major championships.
Yeah, they're just really a dirty program, and I've had the, whether fortunate or unfortunate, I've lived near Penn State, lived up in Ohio, lived in Kentucky. So, when you're talking about those programs, I mean, they're almost cult-like. I mean, it's really hard to describe unless you live in that area. I'm sure Zach could tell you a little bit about, the nuts that are, fans at Penn State. I mean, it just doesn't matter to them. Winning trumps all. But before I go, I do have one question. Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, isn't he from Ohio?
He is.
That might be the next coach of Ohio State. Maybe he comes home.
It's a thought. It's a very good thought. I appreciate the phone call. Fear the Turtle.
All right, man.
All right, buddy. I was asked somebody about this the other day, and they don't know Bob Stoops, but they had read somewhere that, man, Bob Stoops thinks he's really done. I don't know that. Sometimes these guys who think they're done, I mean, what do they do? What's Bob Stoops doing now? I mean, retirement sounds great, but is it really? Are you so ultra competitive that you think you can do it again? Because didn't Bill Parcells come back? Didn't Steve Spurrier come back? Don't all these guys kind of come back? That wouldn't shock me. I think that probably in his head he probably thinks he's done. But after a while, like, what do you do? Like, when you wake up.
I mean, that's your identity, isn't it?
For those guys, well, hopefully it's not your identity. Hopefully it's not.
Sure.
But for those guys, you got to think that part of that ultra-competitive nature that maybe you're kind of thinking that it is. That drive. Because really, I mean, Bob Stoops, when he gets up today, what does he do? You can spend some family time, yeah. You know what surprised me? Bill Cowher never got back into it. And he did TV, I guess. But now Gruden's a good example of it. Mm-hmm. You think you're done. Mm-hmm. I'm done. There's no way I'll ever coach again. And you wake up and go, man, I think I can do this one more time. It's exhausting. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. It's a lot of money. But these guys aren't worried about money, I don't think. QCT makes a good point. Stoops had his own domestic violence issue with Mixon. Would Ohio State take him back? I don't know. There's got to be a way to walk away and feel good about it without getting back into it. But you know what? A lot of these guys don't do it. A lot of these guys have to have that thing in their life. Not me, buddy. When I'm gone, I'm gone.
When you're done, you're done.
That's it.
Well, you are also on record as saying, why retire? What happens after you retire? You just die.
That's true. And I heard Dan Patrick talk about this when asked. I mean, they're going to have to fire me here because I love coming to work every day. When Dan Patrick was asked about it, he goes, usually you retire to something better. The guy that works in the cubicle for 30 years, the guy that works in the coal mine for 30 years, the guy that drives a cab for 30 years, there's a better life out there. What's a better life than what me and you do? There's something better than this? I mean, every single day, there's something better than this?
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Not that I know of.
I'm sure in someone's eyes, somewhere there is.
Maybe.
To each their own.
Maybe. Brad Hughes is my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate. Call him at 292-3001. Email him, bradhughes@allstate.com. Get in touch with him, bradhughesinsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to my good friend Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We forgive someone every single day. Today, I forgive Jeff Hams. Josh Williams sent this to me. More than 100 Buckeye fans gathered outside the gates of Ohio Stadium to support Urban Meyer. The Scarlet and Gray crowd chanted Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer. Lasted less than 20 minutes, 90-degree heat. Jeff Hams sparked the event on Facebook post this past weekend. He drove to Columbus from his home in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Of course he's from Myrtle Beach.
The dirty Myrtle.
Aren't all Ohio State fans living in Myrtle Beach or Charleston right now? Mount Pleasant right now. Of course that's the case.
Oy.
We finished things up. Skip the music, buddy. What do you got for 2-minute drill for
us? As we mentioned early in the show, but it begs to be repeated now, the Yankees stopped the bleeding last night, right? Coming off a 5-game losing streak. Lance the Stopper Lynn puts one in the win column for the Yankees with a 7-0 defeat of the White Sox at Chicago. Tonight they play again, 8-10. Sabathia takes the mound for them, followed by Severino on Wednesday. Should be fun to watch. The Yankees, as we had mentioned, again, have a 4.04 combined opponent win percentage for the rest of the season. That's the lowest in baseball, easiest in baseball from here on out. Hopefully they can make up some ground on one Boston Red Sox team.
Very cool stuff there. My 2-minute drill brought to you by Eric Newton.